Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you came up with this children's message. Well, we're entering a very important season of the church year, and we just sang about it in our last hymn. Do you know what church season it is? It's not Christmas, not yet. What do we call it? What's it called? Advent. Very good. And do you know what the word Advent means? Now, unless you took Latin, and I don't think any of you but me got to do that yet, Advent means the word coming. Can you say that word with me? Coming. Okay. So we're actually celebrating three different kinds of coming of, really, Christ. So I want you to hold up your finger. Can you do that? First one. The first coming. Can you do that? We got to see if they can do it too. Yep, they can do it too. The first coming of Jesus is at Christmas, and we need to prepare for Christ to come at Christmas. We don't just do that with decorations in our homes, but in our hearts. Today we're going to be talking about how we repent. We turn away from our sins. We stop doing them, and we trust in Christ, Christ alone. But today in our hymn and in our sermon, we're going to talk about, hold up number two, the second coming of Jesus. Do you know what the second coming of Jesus is? That's when Jesus returns on Judgment Day, right? And is that scary, Judgment Day? No, because what's going to happen on Judgment Day? Jesus is going to return, and he's going to return not like a little baby, but a conquering king, and he's going to take you and me and every believer to home to heaven, where there's going to be no more problems, no more cold weather. Can't wait for that. No more snow, no more scariness, no more sickness, no more pain, no more death. Jesus is going to take us home to heaven. That's the second coming of Jesus, and I'll talk about that in my sermon. But now there's a number three. Can you hold up number three? There's the third coming. We don't talk about it, the third coming, but really it is. It's Jesus coming into our hearts. And when did that happen? In our baptism. When that little baby, Charles, when he got baptized, and when his daddy got baptized, and when you and I were baptized, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came into our hearts to help to, he's the one that let us believe in Jesus as our only Savior, to give us joy and purpose and life. And he says he'll always be with us. So we're celebrating the coming of Jesus into our hearts through baptism. And I hope when you see a baptism, you don't just pray for them, you also remember your baptism too. So this Advent season, I pray you remember the comings of Jesus. Let's pray about that. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming at Bethlehem, coming on Judgment Day, and coming into our hearts. Help us always listen to you. Help us always follow you. For Jesus' sake, amen. Grace, mercy, and God's peace be with you now and always, because of the coming Christ child, Jesus. Amen. God's word appointed for this second Sunday of Advent is recorded for us in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. I know your bulletin says chapter 2. Sorry, that was a misprint by me. It's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. We're going to hear God's word remind us. It's Advent, and it's time. It's time for us to repent. It's time for us to lead a godly life. This is what God's word says. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will come about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Dear Christian friends, watching, waiting, and preparing for Christ's coming. It's one of those things that we know to be true, but it's sometimes so hard to wrap our heads around it. God doesn't keep time like we do. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, maybe you've had this experience. Maybe when you were at a different age, you prayed that so-and-so would pay more attention to you. And maybe you even weren't bold enough to pray that so-and-so and you would end up together. But then the semesters and the years passed, and nothing seemed to happen. Maybe it was just because you were frustrated. Maybe it was because you were impatient. But you arrogantly tapped your watch, looked up into heaven, and said, "Hey, God, isn't it about time you answer my prayer?" And of course, that might seem a little ridiculous because as Christians, we know that God answers every single one of our prayers in Jesus' name. And God answers our prayers one of three different ways. Yes, no, wait, ask again. God often answers our prayers much better than the way we pray them, and thank God for that. But many of you have lived long enough to understand the wisdom of this timeless truth. Thank God for unanswered prayer. Maybe the real reason why God seems to be taking his own sweet time in answering our prayers because sometimes we're slow to learn. God doesn't keep time or act according to our watches or according to our schedules. If God had a wristwatch, I don't know what kind he'd wear. If God had a wristwatch, though, I know this is what his watch would say based on our reading from 2 Peter chapter 3. God's watch would say it's Advent and it's about time. It's about time for us to repent. It's about time for us to lead godly lives. It's about time. There's no question about it, our scripture reading for today tells us. Judgment Day is coming. Our sermon reading guarantees it. God's word tells us about Judgment Day not just to shake us up, but to give comfort, to let us know ahead of time what's all going to be happening. Elsewhere in Scripture, God gives us probably the most important detail about Judgment Day. When is it going to take place? Well, Jesus in the Gospels has already told us no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven. Now that leads some people to say, is God really being serious about Judgment Day? Let's figure it out on the basis of Scripture. I think you know that God is serious about Judgment Day, but other people aren't so sure. They look around and they say, you know, I believe God is a God of love. God wouldn't judge anyone, or would he? Just take a look at the history of the world. Take a look at the history of the Bible. Do you remember when God filled our world with judgment? If you ever wonder if God's serious about judgment, I hope you just start thinking about the flood. When God told Noah ahead of time in Genesis chapter 6, God would send a flood in judgment to the world. And God said, Noah, I'm going to save you, but you need to build an ark. An ark. Can you imagine the conversations that Noah had with his neighbors as Noah was constructing that big wooden project, an ark that was much bigger than the size of our own sanctuary? Just think about what Noah's neighbors asked him. Hey, Noah, what you doing? Building an ark. What for? Oh, God's going to make it rain. Oh, right. And when it didn't happen right away, according to human schedules, the people were lulled into a sense of security, like the flood was ever going to happen. Can you imagine the follow-up conversations that Noah had with his neighbors? Hey, Noah, where's this flood you've been telling us about? Hey, Noah, it rained last night, enough to cover my roof, but not enough to cover the planet. Right, God is going to send a flood into this world. I wonder how shocked these critics were when God sent the waters on the earth to rain 40 days and 40 nights. God didn't stop them from ridiculing Noah at the time, but God sent poetic and perfect judgment into the world and wiped everything and everyone out except Noah and his family he chose to save by his grace. That tells us something. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. And when God says he's going to act into the world, he acts decisively. I wonder what Noah was thinking as the ark rose higher and higher above the mountains. I wonder if he ever thought, you know, God, it's about time. Oh, the people that mocked God are gone. They've long gone. And yet the spirit that they had is still alive today. Still, people ridicule you and me for being believers. People right here in our community, they think we're ridiculous for coming to church. I mean, coming to church when it's not Christmas and Easter, well, to them, it just doesn't make sense. To them, they say, where's this judgment day anyway, as if it's ever going to happen? Don't be lulled into a false sense of security like them, and don't be fooled. Yes, it doesn't, just because God doesn't operate according to our schedules and our timetables, doesn't mean God's not going to act at all. And consider this, in the 10,000 years of recorded history, has God let us down on even one promise? He's not going to start with his promise of returning on Judgment Day. So what does all that mean for us anyway? It means for us, it's Advent, and it's time for us to repent. It might seem like God is taking his own sweet time to return on Judgment Day, but the Apostle Peter, who knew Jesus, who talked with him, who spent 3 long years with him, he knows how God operates, and he gives us inside information to help us understand how God operates too. With the opening words of our reading, he says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Don't try to spend too much time figuring out this riddle about how God operates. You won't be able to do it. Trying to understand the eternal God is a little bit like trying to empty the 10,000 lakes of Minnesota with just a cup or a gallon jug. You can try, you won't get very far. Peter's point to us is this: God is eternal. He doesn't have a beginning, he doesn't have an end. That means God has always been around here, always has been, always will be. That's why you and I need to remember that we need to go to that God, Go to the true God who reveals himself in the Bible as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go to him for our every need. Go to him for our every weakness. Go to him for our every sin. Perhaps you've heard about the story of the man who once had a conversation with God. It went something like this. Hey, God, what's a million years like to you? And God answered, like a second. Well, the man continued his line of questioning, and he said, hey, God, what's $1 million like to you? And God said, about a penny. The man thought he was being clever, and he said, hey, God, can you spare a penny? And God said, sure, in about a second. The point is this. God isn't limited by our human experience. 80, 90 years here in this life, we are limited. Eternity is hard for us to grasp, and it's hard sometime for us to wait for the eternal God. Waiting for God to come and act, that's hard for anyone of any age. Just ask a child. I'm sure some of you already have your Christmas trees going up and maybe even have the kids' Christmas gifts right underneath the tree. Do you know how hard it is for a little kid to see a present with their name on it and being told they just have to wait? It seems like forever. Ask a teenager. All they want to do is be able to drive, and they want to get their driver's license, but they have to wait. It seems like forever. Ask a childless couple who would love to have a baby, but God hasn't blessed them in that way, and they have to wait. It seems like forever. Ask that lonely senior citizen who just wants to go home because their spouse and everyone else around them is gone, and they have to wait. It seems like forever. But you and I, all of us need to wait for Jesus coming. And as we wait for Judgment Day, what does God want us to be doing? Well, the Apostle Peter answers that question. It's time. It's time for us to repent. Listen to what he meant with these words. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What we call slowness, God calls patience. The good news of the Bible, the good news for you and me, is that God doesn't want any of us to go to the fire of hell. So God himself did something. He acted decisively to save us. He entered our time at just the right time. Galatians chapter 4 puts it this way, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. At the perfect moment of history, not one second too early or too late, God wrapped himself in human flesh and was perfect for every time we were impatient. For every thought, word, and action where we blew it, Jesus was absolutely perfect to make up for our sin. Only Jesus gave his holy life on the cross in exchange for our sin-filled lives to make us right with God. Jesus died a horrible death on that cross to save us. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave to assure us God accepted that sacrifice. And now God gives us every opportunity to repent. So don't take too much more time. Repent. Repent each day. The word repent literally means to make a 180 turn, to be going the wrong way, and to turn back to God. Repent involves sorrow. Sorrow over sin. Not just I got caught, but sorrow that I did it. Maybe it didn't even hurt anyone else, but it hurt you. and it hurt your relationship with God. That's what it means to be sorry for our sins, to recognize that, but also to stop the sin and to turn to Christ Jesus alone for forgiveness. Yes, give your sin to Jesus now and believe the good news, you are forgiven. Just think about how God's love is so patient. Thank God he hasn't entered the world, he hasn't ended the world right now. He gives people time, but don't misunderstand, God's not lazy, he's intentional. He's still giving other people time to realize their sins, to come to believe in Jesus. I pray that lights a fire under each of our hearts to share that good news. Yes, Advent means it's time to repent and believe. Why? Because Judgment Day is coming. What events will happen on Judgment Day? Well, Peter shares them with us, that time where everything's going to change. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. In other words, it will come unexpectedly. No one will be able to predict it. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. I don't know about you, but the place where I live has plenty of things that need to get done. My honey-do list is a mile long. But you know what God reminds us with these words? That home that you have, whether it's your dorm room, your apartment, your house, or your lake home, it's all going to be destroyed. Stop getting so comfortable. But God tells us, don't worry. He's going to give us a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. But everything here will disappear. But Judgment Day lies for God, always in the present. For us, it's in the future. Try to figure that one out. But what should we do until Jesus returns? Does it really matter? God says 100% everything you and I do today, tomorrow, in the future, it matters. Peter asks the same question. He answers it this way. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Until Judgment Day comes, God wants us to be the innocent people that God has declared us to be. Now think about it. We've repented of our sins. Repented means we've turned away from them. We've given them to Jesus. We don't want them back. We don't want to go to the same old sin, same old guilt. Jesus has freed us from our guilt, but he's also freed us from the power of our sin. What that means is God wants us to lead holy lives, godly lives, not according to our standards, but according to his. God wants us to look into his word and see what that means. You have struggling, everybody struggles with a personal sin. God says, leave it behind, it's not worth it. You find you can't leave your life of sin, talk to a Christian friend or a family member. Confide in them, ask them to help you, to pray for you, they will. You're not able to leave that sin behind? Talk with a St. Paul's pastor, a teacher, a leader. We stand ready to help you. Sin is just not worth it. Oh, not that you and I are going to be perfect, ever. But like the Apostle Paul said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul uses this sports analogy of a sprinter, not looking behind, but looking ahead. That means the mistakes we've made. Sin doesn't need to define us. God's forgiveness does. But just like we run away from the starting line, we run away from sin as we're running towards heaven. leading godly lives, getting rid of sin. It's like taking out the trash. It's a daily thing we've got to do. But other people are watching us, and that's an important point. You and I might be the only Bible others may read. Others may never open up the Bible to see what God wants them to be, but God calls you and me to be godly examples. And if our lives are no different than anybody else, why would anybody else want what we have? Oh, I know you don't always have a reason to smile. I know you're going through some hard things. God does too. But God has given us a joy of knowing we're forgiven, we're headed to heaven. Does that matter? Of course it does. Other people need to see the joy in our hearts because they want it too. My friends, you and I have what everyone else wants. That's forgiveness. That's Jesus. May we also model it for others. I don't know what kind of watch God wears right now. Is it Rolex? Is it Mickey Mouse? Is it Apple? But I do know that our time is a lot shorter than we think, and I know that Judgment Day is coming. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow it's a mystery. That's why today is God's gift to us. It's called the present. Use it wisely. Learning from the past, being confident of the future. Be you and I, be active every day. It's Advent and it's about time. It's about time to repent. It's about time to lead godly lives. Oof, I'm out of time, so I'll say it. Amen. Also, for our stewardship minute, we think about the gifts that God has given us and how God has made us stewards. We think about the stewardship of time that we all have, time we can use wisely. We have a number of Christmas services coming up. I pray you're already thinking about people that you can invite to church. No, not everybody takes my invitations either. That doesn't mean we don't try. We want other people to have the joy of Christmas that only God's word brings. We pray. Lord of the harvest, great and kind, rouse us to action, heart and mind. Let the gathering nations all see your light and heed your call. Amen. We continue our service with the prayer of the church.
Eternal God, give us peace as we ponder the good news that you forgive our sins in Christ. Lead us to see clearly the path you have laid out for us. Provide courage and compassion to all who preach and teach your word. Fill them with a love like yours as they proclaim your grace to us and all people. Guard and guide the families of our congregation. Lead husbands and wives to love each other with commitment, respect, and patience. Help parents to grasp the eternal value of keeping their children close to Jesus all their lives. Grant joy to those who are single and make them a blessing to others. Provide wisdom and insight to those who make laws and set policies. Give us respect for those who protect us from crime. Lead us to value the rights of our fellow citizens and to defend those who cannot defend themselves. Give us passion to share the story of your love with our family and friends. Overcome unbelief and open the hearts of people everywhere to believe the good news that Jesus has forgiven their sins and opened the gates of heaven. Extend your healing power to those who are sick and suffering in body or mind. Give patience and compassion to all who care for the sick and dying. Hear the prayer of your people, God of mercy. We ask you to bless the medical procedure of Sid, who is having stents put in his heart. Protect his life during his medical stay and guide the hands of his surgeon and medical team. Restore him according to your goodwill, and remind each of us the blessing of good health. God of the church, we pray for several members of our congregation who are deliberating divine calls to serve you in other places, including Professor Martin Santos, who is deliberating a call to Menasha, Wisconsin. Pete Margraf, considering a principal call to Nebraska Lutheran High School. Dr. James Karlofsky, who is deliberating a call to Wisconsin Lutheran High School. And Pastor Jeff Schoen, who is deliberating a call to Olivia, Minnesota. Bless them with a full measure of your Holy Spirit to help them make ministry decisions that will extend the borders of your kingdom and make them faithful witnesses of your mercy. Give them and their families peace during this time, and let your will be done. Bless the new Christian faith of several of our St. Paul's members who have been baptized and given the gift of saving faith, including Elsie Nelson, daughter of Jared and Lindsay Nelson, who was baptized in the Sunday service, and Joshua and Charles Jones, who were baptized before you today in the 9:30. Fan the flame of the Christian faith that they have been given, and remove all obstacles that get in the way from hearing your word. Make them faithful to you and remind all of us of the blessing of holy baptism, where you wash away our sins. We praise you for the faithful service of St. Paul's Church custodian Art Laney, who has served our St. Paul's family of believers for the past 16 years and who is retiring this weekend on his 85th birthday. Thank you for the humble service of Art and for helping him take care of your house these many years. Now bless him as he ends his service for you, and remind him you will never leave him nor will you forsake him. Raise up the congregation to help us keep your holy house in order. And Lord, we come to you on behalf of the family of Ivan Enter, who has been called to his heavenly home. Lord, bless the family, give them peace during this time, peace that rests in the salvation that was given to Ivan by Christ. Lord, help them comfort each other in their mourning and celebrate his memory and rejoice in his current, present joy. Hear us, Lord, as we bring to you now our private petitions. Gracious God, you govern and direct all things, and you love all people. Hear our prayers, spoken and silent, and answer them in your wisdom and grace.
Jesus, amen.
Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for your learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We join in the prayer that our Savior has taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord who loves us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Let's end our worship time together with the final stanzas of our hymn, Arise, O Christian People.
We welcome all of you here to St. Paul's. We're glad that you've joined us, especially to our guests. We're glad that you're here. And if you are a guest here at this service, please introduce yourself to me. We'd love to be able to welcome you and invite you back. We'd like to thank all who made this service possible, our organist, slide advancer, Professor Robinson, thank you. You probably noticed that Professor Robinson, he and Professor Scharf are also our pulpit assistants now about once a month. They're going to be helping us lead worship. With our staff minister, Tom Benzing, leaving, we were missing some of that ministry, and we're very grateful that they've been willing to help us with that. This Tuesday, our operation manager, Jason Williams, is beginning his work with us. We're very excited about that. The only announcements I have is you're welcome for coffee, juice, and donuts right after these service. We hope you join us. We also invite you back at 1:15 today. If you like to sing Christmas carols, our carolers are going to go out among town, and you're invited to come with. Please join Dr. Karlovsky and his family. We usually have about 50 people that go out into the neighborhood, and you're welcome to join us. Just be here about 1:15 at the Fireside Room. This coming Wednesday, we conclude our special Advent services, those three services at 12:15, 4:30, and 6:30, with a dinner about 5:15. Welcome to join us for that. And then finally, next Sunday, we're having a special voters meeting to permanently call a St. Paul's teacher. It's between the services, about 10:35 in the fellowship room. That's everything, I think. May God bless you in your preparation for Advent. Good morning.